Gennesaret. And the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord.
I hope y'all don't mind this morning if I share with you here. I feel sometimes intimidated standing behind the pulpit, and sometimes a little more comfortable at home just standing down here in front of you. So I hope that doesn't bother anyone. What a blessing it is for me to get the opportunity to share with you all this morning of a passage of Scripture that I'm sure we've all heard many times. Matter of fact, this week as I prepared, I probably read this over and over and over and over again. And every time I read it, I saw something new. I was somewhat intimidated a little by it because there's so much different things there that are worth speaking on. So I was able to pull some of that out, but I'm sure there's so much there that is that remains to be revealed by God. And that's why I love the Word of God so much, because it is active, it's alive, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. That was instructions that the Apostle Paul had shared with his young protege, Timothy. He reminded him that the ministry of the Word was very, very, very important, because the Word of God is alive. And so this week, I saw that for myself. As I continued to read that passage of Scripture, I was reminded by God of the importance of taking Scripture and reading it slowly. Slowly reading it and chewing on it and meditating upon it and allowing the Lord to speak to us and meet us right where we are. And so, if you don't mind, I'd love to read it one more time. And I want us all just to imagine what it was like the day on the shore that Jesus interacted with Peter. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at water's edge two sailboats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats on shore. They left everything and they followed him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you tell us that we cannot see you unless your Father, through the Holy Spirit, reveals you to us. Lord, on that day on the shore, you were revealed to Peter. It is our prayer, God, now that through the ministry of the Word, just as it was ministered then, that you will reveal yourself to us even more now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love a good story. And I love the characters of stories. And I particularly love when characters of stories don't realize the role they have to play in the story when the story begins. And I imagine Peter as being one of those that day. It was an ordinary day. Peter was doing his ordinary things. Peter was fishing. Probably had been fishing all night. Probably very frustrated that day. When lo and behold, on the horizon, Jesus appears and begins to preach the Word of God. So much so that thousands of people begin to gather around him. And the Scripture tells us that Peter, in the moment, was found washing the nets. Peter was doing his job. All good fishermen who fish, even when they don't catch anything, are responsible for cleaning the nets, responsible for placing things in order. Peter was going about his business that day, and unbeknownst to him, he was about to have an encounter with the living God, Jesus Christ himself. I love Peter because Peter was an ordinary guy. All throughout Scripture, we see Peter oftentimes put his foot in his mouth. Peter was a fisherman. He was rough and he was tough. And when I see Peter, it takes a lot of pressure off myself, because I get to see that God uses ordinary people like Peter to do extraordinary things. And it's not through Peter, but it's actually through people like Peter who partner with God and allow God to use them. But one day, Jesus encounters Peter. Peter is at work and finishing up. Jesus arrives and gets Peter's attention. You see, the Word of God was being ministered that day. It says that crowds were all around Jesus, pressing in upon him as the Word of God was being taught and as the Word of God was being heard. As people were being taught, there was Peter on the sideline doing his job. Jesus interrupts Peter. Did anyone see in Scripture how he interrupted Jesus? He actually got into his boat. And that's what I like about this story so much. A lot of times, Jesus has a way of interrupting us. He understands the busyness of our lives. He understands how quickly things can happen. We get up in the morning, and in my home, I know it is a very chaotic time. The kids have to be at work at school by 7:50. I have to be at work at 8 o'clock. We're all running around, getting breakfast together, getting lunches together. And if we run too fast, we realize that sometimes we actually miss the most important time, and that's the time that we sit at the feet of Jesus. Just prior to this passage, if you read before, in Luke 4, we see that Jesus took time to be alone with the Lord. How often do we take that time to be alone with the Lord, because we see in Scripture that it is the Word of God that actually has the power to transform us. And crowds were listening that day to the Word of God as it was proclaimed. It made me realize that in the busyness of life, we must take time to not only hear the Word ourselves in our time with the Lord, but to hear the Word as it's proclaimed. So Jesus gets in the boat of Peter. And I wondered, and I questioned, why did he get in Peter's boat? You know, Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. God does nothing by accident. As I look out in front of me right now and see all of you, you are not here by accident. None of us are here by accident. None of us are in Selma by accident. God has brought us all here regardless of the circumstances that bring you to this place. You hear better than you realize. And we are led better than we realize. Scripture teaches in Deuteronomy 8:3. I thought of this week. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus, knowing the importance of that, gets in Peter's boat. And what does he ask Peter to do? Something really simple. He says, will you just shove off just a little bit? These people don't want to get wet. Yeah, they get crowd around me if I'm just a little bit out there. So what does Peter do? He does that. He takes that little step for Jesus. And in that little step for Jesus, unbeknownst to Peter, he is actually positioning himself to hear from God, to hear from Jesus. You see, the word was being preached, but Peter was washing his nets. Jesus gets in his boat. Peter has to now come to the boat. Jesus then asks Peter to shove out. Now Peter is with Jesus in the boat, and he's got his attention. He's got his attention. And as Peter, I can only imagine, as Peter was probably worried about the fish that he didn't catch that night and how he was going to feed his family and what he was going to tell his boss because there was no fish. And, you know, what about his partners and they've got children? And he finds himself being put in a place of having to hear Jesus speak. We don't know what was preached that day by Jesus. Maybe he preached what he preached in Matthew 6 when he says, do not worry what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. And he talks about the birds of the air that neither sow nor reap or stow in barns, but they have everything they need. Maybe that was what Jesus was preaching on that day. We have several sermons of Jesus recorded in Scripture. But whatever he heard that day got Peter's attention. Jesus gets his attention that day. Because Peter is an important character in the story that Jesus is writing. Just as we are important characters in the story that God is writing. And the first part that Peter had to play, because believe it or not, we actually participate with God in his transformation of ourselves, but also in the transformation of others. The first thing that Peter did that day was he showed up for work. He showed up about doing his job that day. And Jesus met him there. And the second thing he did was he allowed Jesus to use his boat. He obeyed Jesus. And he pushed out. He pushed out just a little bit from the shore. Jesus forced Peter to slow down. He forced him to listen. And as I thought on this week, it made me wonder, like, how might Jesus be forcing me to hear him? What might he be doing in my life or in your life, or what is he whispering to us that is just a little bit. He just a little bit he wants us to take, just a little step forward into something that he desires. The amazing thing in that little step that Peter did was that thousands got to hear the word of God proclaimed. Out of Peter just pushing out just a little bit, not only was Peter blessed, but so were all of the crowds who made more room. There was more room for him to, for more people to come and hear as Jesus proclaimed the word of God that day. Jesus used Peter to feed thousands that day. Not with bread, but with God's word. And in the process of that happening, Peter began to be transformed himself. What happens when we hear the word of God? Well, Scripture teaches that faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, as Paul writes in Romans 10. It comes by hearing the word of Christ. So in the moment of Peter being in the boat along with the thousands being on the shore, when the message was done, Peter was asked by Jesus to do something. But before that occurs, it made me think about all the great football coaches that I played for. And one in particular, when I was in college, had this gift of just encouraging you, of just making you believe in yourself. And I would always say, when people ask me about this particular coach, I would tell them this: you know what? He could get us to run through a brick wall for him. Have you ever had someone like that in your life? That just time with them, it could just cause you to believe in yourself? Just time with this person, or the words that they share, the encouragement they give, just might cause you to try something new that you wouldn't have tried before. And if you ever noticed that perhaps when you kind of get excited about doing something, what happens when you wait a day or two? Maybe it's just me, but I lose all that vigor that I had when I was here and I could do it. And I began to convince myself that, you know what? Nah, not me, not for me. That wall that I thought I could run through is actually too high, it's too wide. Nobody's going to help me. People may laugh at me if I run into it and not run through it. Does that happen to you all? See, the interesting thing about faith, when faith is like a spark, when it happens, there's another step to it. And Jesus would not allow Peter to row his boat back to the shore. Not because he had to give Peter the opportunity to respond to what he had just heard. And God does that for us too. Deep down, when we feel the whispers of the Lord to try something new, to be a part of taking a step out just a little, lo and behold, that day sometime or in the next day or so, there is the opportunity to do it. And in this case, that opportunity for Peter was right after he heard Jesus preach that day. Jesus tells him this. He says, "Peter, put out into deeper water. Let down your nets for a catch." And I thought about that this week, because here's Peter, an expert angler, right? Like many of you. Some of you are expert fishermen. And I fished with some Selma guys that know more about it than me. They know where to put the fishing hole. They know where to throw the worm. They know a lot more about fishing than I do. Peter knew a lot about fishing. And here was a carpenter, not a fisherman, but a carpenter, telling him to put his net out deeper. And what did Peter say? He says, fished all night. There's nothing out there. And then there's that pause. That if we read too fast, who knows how long that lasted? That pause. Maybe Peter paused for a few seconds. Maybe it was for a few minutes. Whatever, however long it was just long enough for him to realize that he had just heard something that gave him the faith to maybe give this a shot this time. So he pushes out and he says to Jesus, "At your command, Lord. Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And we know where the story goes from there. It pushes out a little deeper. They drop the nets. And boatloads of fish came that day. So much so that it says the boat began to sink. So much so that the partners of Peter, who had nothing, we're now getting to experience the generosity of God. Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to respond. And praise God, Peter did it. Because this is a story of Peter's transformation. Peter loved to fish. He was a fisherman. He was doing his work. Jesus met him while he did his work. And then Jesus reoriented him through his obedience. He reoriented his life so that Peter could see reality. So that Peter could see Jesus. So that Peter could see that Jesus was more than a carpenter. He was God. He was more than a carpenter. He was God. Last week I heard Steve preach on the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when the Spirit comes upon you? Well, the first thing that occurs is we begin to see Jesus is more than a carpenter. He's God. Jesus is a lot bigger than we give him credit for. And that day that Peter stood and saw the boat sinking, can you imagine what was going through his mind? Here is this guy who I've respected. Here's this guy who I've let use my boat. Here's this guy who lots of people listen to and believe. But he's more than that. He's God. He says astonishment. They were astonished by the catch of fish. But what happens is Peter notices who he is dealing with. He says that he falls to his knees. And he says, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a simple man. Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a simple man." This is what Bible scholars call a call, C-A-L-L narrative. There's another one that's similar to that. We see that when God shows up, the only thing we can do is fall to our knees and realize that we are in the presence of the Almighty God. He is so big and we are so small. But there's things that prevent us from seeing in that way. I mean, thank God Peter did not allow his pride of being the expert to get in the way of the carpenter asking him to do something simple. Push out a little further and give it a shot. What do you have to lose? Trust me. And when he does that, when he obeys, he sees God. Unlike he had ever seen him before. See, obedience brings blessing to us, but also to others, right? Jesus, through Peter's obedience, preached to thousands. But obedience also brings us to a place of repentance, where we see that we aren't as sufficient as we think or thought we were. Where we see that without him, we are nothing. When we see that he's the only one that can do this. As I think about Selma, and I think about a place that
I'm growing to love, that you all have loved and have been here for a lot longer than me. I'm grateful for the hospitality and for the love that you all show me and my family since we've been here a year. But you all have seen Selma for a lot longer than I have. You've seen it in its better years. You see it now. And we all wonder, where is the future of Selma? And as I read this text this week, I could not help but think, you know what, guys? We have an opportunity here. It's a challenging opportunity. But the only way that it can be done is if we have a very big view of God and a much larger reality of His love for here, and a much larger reality of His desire to use us to be a part of what He desires to do here. Because we can't look to each other. We honestly have to look to Him. We have to look for to Him. And we have to see Him as who He is. But look what happens when Peter fell on his knees in repentance. It says, "For he and all his companions, they were astonished at the catch of fish." You mean, you want to use me? You chose my boat? You chose me? It makes me think of the song, you know, "Who am I that you are mindful of me?" Do we ask ourselves that? Like, who are you, God, that you are mindful of me? That you desire to use me to be a part of something greater than me? I coach youth baseball. And this week, every time I'm with the boys, I see the desire of children in this town who want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I'm reminded that deep down, every person has a desire to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Before God ever woke me up, He did it while I was a lawyer in South Carolina. And I was dry as a bone. You would never have known it from the outside because it looked like everything was hunky-dory. But I was dry. I was dry. And God allowed me to dry myself out and come to a place where He had to show up. Because I had the things that I had always been told were things that would make me feel better about myself. I had a home in the neighborhood that everybody wanted to live in. I was a member at the country club. I could play golf when I wanted to. I had friends that lots of people wanted to be friends with, but I was dry. I came to the end of myself, and I realized that one day I looked at myself in the mirror, and I realized this is not who you've created me to be, but I'm going to stop taking people's word for it. You've got to show me yourself. Fast forward 9 years, and here I am, and I don't know. Actually, the more I step out and the more that I push out deeper, I realize how small I am. And my knees tremble, and I just realize that there is a God, and He cares for me. And I can have confidence in knowing that He says He never will leave me and never forsake me. Because here's the thing, if the Word is not appropriated, if the Word of God is not lived out in our lives, then faith is dead. It says faith without works is dead. So when the Word is preached or when we are in our devotional lives, if we do nothing with it, it's dead. It's not even really faith. And I promise you, as you see in this scripture, and as I've seen in my life, with every tiny step we take out, Jesus meets us there. And guess what? He asked for another step after that. Because we've never arrived. Because he's a God of stretch. If you don't like to be stretched, then you're in for it. Because God stretches us. He puts us in positions that are uncomfortable. He then gives us word. He gives us faith to step into it. And then he expects us to step. And I found in my life that when we don't step, he goes on and chooses someone else. Reminds me of the Chronicles of Narnia. I read those books to my children, to Jay. And I remember this passage of passage in there. I think it's in the story, Prince Cassie and Lucy. She's the little one. She's like one of these, right? There's little ones, and then there's Lucy, and then there's Peter, and there's Edmund. And y'all have seen the movies, perhaps, but read the books if you never have. Children's books, but filled with truth. And Lucy has tried to get her brother and sister to take this other path, but she's the little one. And so the older brothers and sisters say, no, we're going to go this way. And they go, and they are in a mess. And one night, in the middle of the night, Lucy wakes up. And she sees Aslan. And Aslan was the character that portrays Jesus. He's a lion. And she sees him in the woods, and she runs to him. And she says, Aslan, you're bigger. And he says, you're older. The reason she saw him as being bigger was because she was older. Older in her faith. She may have been here, but she was older than the ones who were actually giving the commands for them to go this way. She spends time with him. She's refreshed by him. But then he tells her this, go and wake up your brothers and your sisters. And she said, no, Aslan, I can't do that because waking them up, they're older than me. And when I wake them up, you know, they're going to be upset. If you ever waken up and you're tired and you're upset and you're upset that someone woke you? And he says, wake them up and tell them you've seen me. Well, Aslan, what if they don't believe me? And she says, you know what? They won't believe you. But you must tell them that you've seen me, and then tell them that they must follow you to me. And if they don't come, you must leave them and come to me, because I am the one who will lead you out of this. And Lucy runs to him, and she tells him, and sure enough, they don't see her. They don't see Aslan. They don't believe her. But when she tells them that she's about to leave anyway, Edmund says, you know, she was right before she found the wardrobe. And he says he'll go. And before long, they all decide to go, and they're following Lucy. And it says that Lucy kept her eyes on Aslan while the others were behind her complaining and saying they thought they. And she watched Aslan as he led them down the trail, led them through the forest, led them right to where the pathway out was. And as they all continued to walk forward, guess what happened? First they saw his shadow. Then they saw his hind legs. Then they saw his tail. Before long, they all saw Aslan. You see, Simon Peter, was like Lucy that day. He had to have a bigger view of God because God had chosen him to lead people one day. And if he didn't have the view of Jesus, of who Jesus was, then no one would follow Peter. But not only would they not follow Peter to Jesus, Peter wouldn't know who Jesus was and care to follow him anyway. And so as I close this morning, you know, I want to challenge us all. What's your view of Jesus? Do you see him? It's so great. Get with others who see him. Do we hear him? If so, great. Begin to share what he shares with you. If you don't hear him, if you don't know him, get with others who do. But all of us must first hear him here in Scripture. Jesus says when he is resurrected, he says, not only will I never leave you and forsake you, but I'll send you a comforter. I'll send you one who will remind you the things that I say. I will send you one who will help you to understand. And we sing to him this morning, fall fresh on me, Holy Spirit. I look out and I see deep water all around us. Whether we know it or not, he's already kind of pushed our boats out. We're in deep water. And someone needs deep water Christians. Those who are willing to take risk for the sake of others. Those who are willing to be used by God for the sake of others. Those who are willing to lay down their nets and follow him. It's a call that God has given throughout the ages. It says all around the world, it says his eye searches and finds. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He searches for those whom he can trust to lead. None of us are here by accident. There's a journey ahead of us. There is a pathway out. There's a pathway to promise in Selma, Alabama. And his name is Jesus. I have seen him and I know him. And you do too. And he can lead us to a place. A place where others see him. He will lead us to a place where not only do they see him, but they praise him. Because it all ends with this. Jesus sits on the throne and he says, behold, I'm making all things new. Everything. And he's making it. He's not going to make it. He hasn't already made it. He's making it now. He's making all things new. And it says that all the nations will stand before him one day. That's where he's leading us. And we can only get there by having our eyes fixed on him and trusting him and being there with one another when we take risks and take steps and encouraging one another.